Welcome to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. Enjoy this sermon by Pastor Matt Wolfington.
Today we're going to talk about how to be accountable to one another and how to endure our emotions and how we respond to those. So Lord God, as we are here today, I'm so thankful, Lord, just for the body of Christ that you have given us. Lord, how you have drawn us together, whether we're in this room or whether we're online today. Lord, I'm so thankful for camp this past week, not just ours, but all over the world. Father, there were gatherings of not just kids, but of adults. Father, that are coming together in your holy name, Father, to worship you, Father, and to draw closer to you. I'm so thankful for the 21 souls, Father, that are now have a place reserved in heaven for them. Father, I thank you that those kids made the choices. Lord, I'm thankful for the baptisms that took place just spontaneously in the community of Sacramento, kids and adults. Lord, that you are moving. Father, just like serving these veterans, if we provide an opportunity for Christ to be spoken, people are going to respond. Lord, let it be so for us in this room today. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand, let's worship with all of our hearts. Lord, you are faithful. Lord, I know you're faithful. Boy, it's just, sometimes it's really hard to see it and feel it and even understand it. And so, Lord, my prayer today is, Lord, that this is kind of it's a new thought for me is, Lord, I just need a reminder of what your faithfulness looks like to you and how it should look to me. Father, just reveal that to us today. Lord, I know there's some surgeries going on this week, and Lord, we just pray for your, number one, your protection over those lives during those surgery, but Father, that healing would take place. Now, Lord, there would be great recovery, Lord, and Lord, where that just have a pain-free life from that particular place of injury. Lord, and I just really have this the idea, the impression that there's some struggles in relationships here this morning, maybe online, Lord, that they need to see your faithfulness. Lord, how you are holding them together, and Father, how you are calling them to you, to yourself first. Lord, and if they would get that relationship mended, Father, if they would get that relationship back on track, Lord, maybe some of these other relationships would also just fall into line, be easier to deal with, and Father, easier to understand. Lord, just pray for us as a whole. Lord, to pray for our children. Father, and I just want to pray for our finances right now. Lord, as we give today, Lord, I pray that we do and that do what we are called to do. Father, and if we're not in that place where we don't want to or we don't feel like we can, Lord, I pray that you would show provision, Lord, and you would show that faithfulness that we're talking about right now in our finances. Lord, and just like you want us to use all of our lives, Lord, use our money to further your kingdom. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Y'all may be seated.
All right. All right, kiddos. We are going to head to our newly painted children's worship room. Matt talked last week about how we were going to start the transition over to the Way campus. And so our kids' room has been rebranded as Kids Way. There is a new mural on the wall. I had seen a picture of it while I was at camp this week, but somehow walking in and seeing it was like, oh, it looks so good. One of our nursery workers is an art student, Sylvia, and we were able to commission her to do a mural for us on the wall. So before you leave, if you are not a kiddo and you want to see the new painting in there, I highly encourage you later on to go in there. It looks amazing.
Use the word amazing. Ashley did an amazing job at camp this past week, and lots of things went on there that would have never happened without her. And so it's like 95-5. I know what the team. She is unmerciful, absolutely unmerciful. I know you can. I know you can. Can't hear what's in my head, but that's all right too. Emotional expectations. You can see on, I'm on the wrong place here. Here we go. Thank you for everybody who just did that. If you want the sermon notes, you can text to get those today. And kind of give you a little extra in there as far as kind of some things to do this week to think about. So you can get online and grab those if you would like. Just as a reminder where we were the last couple of weeks, I just want to, the 5 points that we've already covered is strong Christians when we talk about emotional expectations. And Samson, one is strong Christians have strong boundaries. We have strong motives. We stay connected to our calling. And then also we discipline our desires. And so where I want to finish up today with Samson is getting to this idea of how we endure emotional pressure. Now, that doesn't sound like a very fun topic, and it's not, but I think it's very important because how we endure emotional pressure is we don't do it by ourselves, we do it together, all right? And so there's really no way to function the way God wants us to function without being in community together. This is like, if I were to ever write a book, and I always say I'm going to write a book, this is the one I really would write. It's because I think we have come into a place in our lives and in society, in West Texas, even more so, because we are so fiercely independent. We have this pioneer spirit about us in West Texas that we think we can do everything alone. We think we can do everything in isolation, and we don't need help from anybody, right? Pull ourselves up by our own. Yeah, I mean, good gosh. I can't even get you to quote scripture, but I can get you to say that, right? I mean, we have this. We have this mentality, and Samson definitely had this mentality. And so let me get you up to speed on the scripture we're about to read, so I don't have to read you a whole chapter beforehand. You're welcome. Samson wanted to marry this Philistine woman. Part of his covenant with God was he would not marry outside of his faith as a Nazarite, those who had specific restrictions on their life, specific boundaries on their life to follow God. One of those was not to eat certain food, not to drink certain wine or wine, period, to be drunk and not to cut his hair and not to marry outside of the Nazarite faith, right? And so, and I say Nazarite faith, I shouldn't say that, Nazarite culture. The faith was the same for all of the believers and followers of God at the time. Believe it or not, it's hard to believe, but they didn't have Baptists, Methodists, and Catholics, and Episcopalians, and, you know, the 17,000 different varieties. They were just the people of God. And so he said, don't marry outside of our faith. Well, he saw a Philistine woman. He lusted after her, and then he wanted to marry her. That's where we're at. They're about to get married. He's throwing a 7-day feast, which is the tradition of the Christian faith at the time, and to gather everybody together. And at the end of the 7 days, the marriage would be consummated, and they would be married, right? And so here we go. While they're at this, while he's on his way, right, to pick up his bride or his the person, his fiance, as we would say, he is attacked by a lion. As he's attacked by a lion, scripture says that the Lord gave him an anointing, gave him even more strength than he had. Samson killed the lion and tore him apart with his bare hands. He didn't have a weapon, he didn't have anything else, he just did it, right? Just a typical Tuesday in the Wolfington household. That's just the way it is. When he does this, he comes back, and as he's walking back through, in the carcass of this lion, some bees have built a beehive, okay? And there's already a little bit of honey in there and all of this stuff. Now, remember, it's a journey, and so maybe some days had passed, and here's where we are now. So while he's at the wedding feast, he wants to tell them a riddle. This is kind of the custom. It was for entertainment purposes. This is what they did. You know, we give, we toast the bride and the groom. We have dances. We have a money tree. We sign Bibles with scripture and advice. They told riddles. I think I would like to go to one of their weddings. Amen. He said this, "Now let me propound a riddle for you. If you will indeed tell it to me within the 7 days of the feast and find it out, then I will give you 30 linen wraps and 30 changes of clothes." Now that's a big deal. And why 30? Because there were 30 people there as a part of the bridal party. "But if you are unable to tell me, then you will give me 30 linen wraps and 30 changes of clothes." And they said to him, "Give us this riddle that we may hear it." So he said to them, "Out of the eater came something to eat, and out of the strong came something sweet." Now, I know that sounds gross because the bees were inside the carcass of this lion. They created a honeycomb, right? And they had a hive. And when Samson came back through, he dug some of the honey out of the carcass of this lion, and he ate it, and he gave part of the honey even to his mom and dad. And so there's this idea of this strong lion, right? An eater, right? The lion's going to eat everything else. So it says, out of the eater came something to eat, and then out of the strong, the lion, came something sweet. So 3 days went by, and then it says this, "But then it came about on the fourth day, they said to Samson's wife, 'Entice your husband so that he will tell us the riddle, or,'" well, this is a rough crowd, "'or we will burn you and your father's house with fire. You have invited us to impoverish us.'" So in other words, she's saying, "You brought us here so Samson could embarrass us and cause us to have to give your family a bunch of clothes, a bunch of fine linens. Is this not so?' Samson's wife wept before him and said, 'You only hate me and you do not love me.'" Remember Delilah last week? "Oh, if you love me, you would tell me." And she says the same thing. And to her, he said, "Behold, I have not even told my father or my mother, so why should I tell you?" However, she wept before him 7 days while their feast lasted. And on the seventh day, he told her because she pressed him so hard. She then told the riddle to the sons of her people. So the men of the city said to him on the seventh day before the sun went down, "What is sweeter than honey and what is stronger than a lion?" They solved the riddle. And at that point, he said to them, "If you had not gotten that from my wife or from my heifer," there's a reason he said that, "you would not have found out my riddle." Then the Spirit of the Lord came on him mightily, and he went down to Ashkelon and killed 30 of them and took their spoil and gave the changes of clothes to those who had told the riddle, who he had told the riddle. And his anger burned, and he went up to his father's house. But Samson's wife was given to his companion who had been his friend. Boy, I think we need to pray over that scripture because that's confusing, isn't it? Yeah. Lord God, take the reading of your word today. Father, take your holy word. Lord, I even need your help a lot of times just to understand what was just said, much less gain the wisdom from it. Lord, let it be so for us in this room today. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so I'm going to clear up three things really quickly before you're mad at scripture. Why did he say, "If you had not plowed with my heifer"? So there's this whole idea of a buried treasure somewhere out in the field, right? This is kind of their custom. It was a game. It was all sorts of things. And they would plow a field until the plow hit the treasure box, and then it would pull up the treasure, okay? And so they said, "If you had not gone to my wife," okay, he called her a heifer, not because he was being derogatory and saying, "She's a cow." That's not what he was saying, okay? He was just using the analogy that they would already know, "If you had not used my wife to gain access to the treasure, you would have never known this." Okay? And then secondly, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him mightily, and he went down and he killed 30 people. God did not give him the power so he would go down and kill 30 people. God gave him the power to do what we're about to talk about this enduring what was going on in his life. Samson misused it, right? He misappropriated God's power and used it for himself. And then finally, what's this idea of, "But Samson's wife was given to his companion who had been his friend"? Samson decided he would not get married, right? And his best man, okay, his friend, and this other woman, right, they became engaged and they got married at some point. Not immediately, not on that day, but that's what happened, okay? And so I just wanted to clear that up. Not that you care, but it's important to me because this sounds horrible. So some strong Christians Unlike Samson's, strong Christians endure emotional pressure. How do we do that? Because emotional pressure comes in a lot of different ways. It might be at work, it might be at home, it might be in relationships, it might be with temptations, it might be with sinfulness, it might be with good things. There's lots of emotional pressure out there. But Samson, he couldn't even keep his own secret. Right? I mean, this is his riddle, and he couldn't even keep the answer to his own riddle a secret because of the emotional pressure he was feeling from this woman. And let me just say right here that physical strength, right? Physical strength does not make up at all for the emotional strength that we are supposed to have or the spiritual resolve we're supposed to have. I mean, if you're not strong in Christ, it doesn't matter if you can bench press 220, right? I have a friend in high school that we were at the swimming pool one day. He was a big boy, right? And we were just giving him a hard time about how much he could bench press. And he joked, and there was a Volkswagen out in the parking lot, like a 1972 Beetle Volkswagen. He said, "I bet I can get that Volkswagen at least off the shocks." Like, there's no way you can get that. But you cannot bench press a Volkswagen. Well, I was wrong, and he did. Amazing. Let me just tell you, though, he had no spiritual resolve. He was a Samson, now that I think about it. I hope he's not listening or watching online and know who I'm talking about. But he was a Samson, a womanizer, right? He had no spiritual resolve. He had no emotional endurance. He just gave in to everything that he wanted to. However, I mean, he looked like he could conquer anything. But yet, his physical strength, Samson's, couldn't get him through life. He kept failing over and over and over again. I wonder what's you think your physical strength is going to get you past today or this week. What temptations do you think just your own resolve is going to get you through? Is it going to get you out of that ring of gossip that you might be in? Is it going to get you out of the lustful temptations of your life? Is it going to get you out of whatever it is? Or are you going to give in to your own emotional pressure and just follow what your heart and your mind are telling you to that's not godly, right? So Samson was a man of faith, but he was not a faithful man. Did you hear me? You might be a person of faith because you're here today. I think what we all have to struggle with, me included, is are we a faithful person, right? Not just a person of faith, but are we a faithful person as we live out our life? He was not faithful to his Nazarite vow. He was not faithful to respecting his parents. He was not faithful to the trust that God had given him. He was not faithful to the calling on his life. He was not faithful, even though he was a person of faith. And let me say this also. Why was Samson in the place where he was able to kill that lion? Well, he was going to commit sin. He was on his way to sinful actions. He was on his way to marry this woman that he was not supposed to be marrying. He was on his way to a city where he was not supposed to be hanging out. He was on his way to a place of sin and temptation in his life. And so the riddle he created was out of his own sinful nature. Everything that he did was compounded by sin after sin after sin after sin. And that finally just built up into his life where he was making a mockery of the power that God gave him. I ask myself all the time, it's a hard question for me, it's not always a great answer, is am I making a mockery out of what God has given me, or am I doing what God's called me to do? Am I doing it out of my own power, or am I doing it out of the power and calling that God has on my life? We all have to do this. And so I think for today, here's where I want to land. It really is this simple, but it's a challenge. As we soon forget our calling, right, how do we get back to that? How do we get back to where God's called us to, the specific gift he has given you? What direction in your life for your marriage or for your children or for your job, your relationships, the smarts that he has given you, the money that he has given you, the education that he has given you, whatever it is, how do we get back to that? So look how it happened. I want you to see how Samson fell into these things. Because this is what happens to me, and it's what happens to you. We have to remember, the problem is not our emotions. The problem is that our emotions have you. Here's what this lady did to Samson. Day one, he tells her about this riddle. He tells everybody. And she starts crying because she knows that she's going to possibly die if she doesn't get the answer. And so she starts manipulating Samson, starts talking to him and saying, please tell me. Tell me how this works. Tell me what the answer is. And she starts crying. She starts playing to his emotions. Now, let me just tell you, I'm going to talk a little bit of adult code here, right? Is that not only was she playing on Samson's emotions, why was Samson wanting to marry this woman? It wasn't because he really loved her. We don't even see that until he meets Delilah. It wasn't that he really loved her. He just wanted her. And if we get to the seventh day of the wedding feast and it's time to consummate the marriage, everybody with me. And she's mad at him. Everybody with me. And he doesn't tell her the riddle. Everybody with me. And it doesn't go her way. What's going to happen on the wedding night? Not much. Now, I'm not reading into Scripture. I'm telling you where my mind went thinking about Samson and this wedding and why he told her finally. It wasn't because necessarily it wasn't about her. It was still all about Samson. It was still all about him. He had two choices to make. He could escape the emotional pressure, or he could endure the emotional pressure. And now, immediately, if you're me, I think I would rather escape the emotional pressure by doing what God's called me to do. But it's backwards. Sometimes we escape the emotional pressure by just giving in and not doing the hard things. We escape the pressure by giving in and not doing what God calls us to do, but by our own strength. Because the way Samson escaped the emotional pressure was by giving in and just telling her. See, he could have endured the emotional pressure by doing what God called him to do, not worried about the seventh night, and just doing being faithful to God and waiting for what God had in store for him. But we all have this. We all want to escape because endurance is hard. See, we should not want to give in. We should want to fight the good fight. 2 Corinthians 4, 17 through 18 just says this, and it's in the notes if you want to get them. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond comparison. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. All Samson wanted to do, this is the way I see it and the way I say it, all Samson wanted to do was get his fix. Amen? It didn't matter what that fix was. He just wanted instant gratification everywhere in his life. It just happened to be particularly a lot with women. But still, it was instant gratification. It was getting his way. It was doing it his way. He didn't care if he dishonored his parents. He didn't care if he dishonored his people. He didn't care if he dishonored God. He just wanted it his way. But yet, what he didn't do, which was really all he really had to do, was be accountable. How could he endure emotional pressure? Well, here's the thing. If he would have been strong, not just in his muscles, not in his physical life, but in his spiritual life, then he would have depended on accountability with all the people around him. And this is where we also don't do a good job. This is where we live in isolation. And we blame it a lot on COVID, don't we? I just saw this morning a news article came across my home screen. Isn't it funny how we don't even sign up for things on our home screen and they just start showing up? All of a sudden, I'm getting traffic patterns in Lubbock, Texas on my home screen on Windows. I'm like, we don't have traffic patterns in Lubbock, Texas. It's the dumbest thing I've ever seen. How do we get that? Well, so on this home screen, it popped up and it said the new trends of commercial buildings around the world. And it talked about just the headline, which really just irritated me right off the bat. If you're one of these people, I'm not mad at you or irritated at you individually. But it said, we're going to have to change the way we construct buildings because everybody works from home and nobody wants to go to work in community anymore. Like, okay, well, whatever. And then when I was going back over my notes, see, people want to stay out of community for whatever reason and live in isolation, but yet God never created us to live in isolation. He never created us to stay alone. I mean, Genesis 2:8? I think I have it somewhere in here. Yeah, no, Genesis 2:18 says, then the Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make another that is suitable for him. Right? Adam wasn't lonely. Adam wasn't doing, he wasn't not doing what God called him to do. God just looked at him and everything that was going on and said, it's not good for him to be by himself. He needs to have community. He needs to have marriage. He needs to have intimacy, right? He needs all the things that come along with having someone with him. Samson lived in isolation, and look what happened to him over and over and over and over and over again. He failed. He started wars. He got himself in trouble. He got other people in trouble. He killed people. He destroyed families and households and cities and communities. All because he wanted to do it by himself. Judges 15:9-13. Listen to this. It says, this is in his own community. Then the Philistines went up and camped in Judah and spread out in Lehi. So the men of Judah said, why have you come up against us? And they replied, we have come up to bind Samson in order to do to him as he did to us. And then 3,000 men of Judah, 3,000 of Samson's community, 3,000 of Samson's family, friends, and neighbors, right? Went down to the cleft of the rock at Edom and said to Samson, this is where Samson was hiding out, do you not know that the Philistines are ruler over us? Now remember, the Israelites are captive. The Philistines are rulers over them. This is why God anointed Samson to deliver them from the Philistines. And he said to them, ready? I love this. Just as they did to me, so I have done to them. How many of you have said that? I just got them back. I just did to them what they did to me. I didn't do any worse. I didn't do any more. I didn't do any less. They got what they deserved. That's all Samson is saying. Then they said to him, we have come down to bind you so that we may hand you over to the Philistines. And Samson said to them, swear to me that you will not kill me. So that they said to him, no, but we will bind you tightly and we will give you into their hands, but certainly we will not kill you. And they bound him with two new ropes and brought him up from the rock. There's a scripture, right? And it says that if God is for us, then who can be against us? See, Samson, he wasn't worried about God. He wasn't worried about his friends, family, and community. He was only worried about himself, right? If he wasn't working in concert with all of his friends, family, and neighbors, community, then he was working against them. And he was working by himself. He started a war all by himself. They weren't even in agreement with Samson, and they were going to have to be in this war. Are you fighting by yourself, or are you in concert with others? And I don't mean fighting in a negative term. I mean, are you just trying to live life by yourself? You're in a fight, by the way. There is a devil, and there is temptation. He prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking to kill and destroy you. Scripture is clear. This lion that came up against Samson, the same thing, sought to kill him and destroy him, but the strength of God saved him. But Samson kept misusing that strength. Where are you at in your own life? Do you live in a place where your own people want to hand you over? Or are you with them and they are with you? In your own church, in your own community of faith, are you with us or are you against us? See, we're stronger together than in isolation. We're stronger together. I know you've heard this. If we'll all just row in the same direction, Well, I want to add to that, it's not about rowing in the same direction. I mean, yes, that's true, but it's rowing in concert, right? Everybody in the boat doing their part, rowing at the same time, the same stroke, the same speed, the same everything. That's the way we move forward in Christ. And that's what Samson didn't do. Now listen to me. Guess where your community is that God is talking about here? It's this community. It's the church. I want to say this, and I want to be totally honest, because I know that not everyone thinks of their church as their community, because guess what? How many of you Christians have been hurt by other Christians? Just raise your hand, be brave. The rest of you just haven't had it happen to you yet. Because it will happen. Even the most well-intentioned and well-meaning Christians say things they should never say, or they should really never even think. Sometimes they mean it as a joke. Sometimes they mean it harshly. Sometimes they mean it because they think they're just trying to hold you accountable. But what they do is they really hurt you. I mean, more people have left the church because of the church than any other reason. Somebody say amen. Yeah, I mean, it's just the truth. I'm sorry for that. And let me just tell you, I've been hurt by more people in the church than I've ever had hurt me outside the church. This is just, we're just human. But here's why. It's because we live with the Samson syndrome. We live with this idea that we can do it all of ourselves, and we don't have to have anybody else. We can live in isolation. We can do it by our own strength, that we don't need these healthy boundaries. We don't need strong boundaries. We don't need any of the things God had directed Samson to. We don't have to. I wish I had a Bible in my hand. We don't have to follow all of these guidelines. We don't have to follow all of these guardrails. We can just do what we want to do. We can pick and choose. No. Samson, he chose what he wanted to and see what happened to him. Now, we talked about the end of the story 2 weeks ago. Well, what happens with Samson? Samson goes to prison. He gets his eyes gouged out. And he's there to be made fun of. And they drag him out at the very end for him to entertain the people at a feast. They bring him into this temple where they're all, not everybody, but most of them are on the rooftop having a feast, and they're drinking and they're dancing and all the things. And Samson, blind, bound, they put him near, he says, put me near the pillars of the temple, this place where they're partying and worshiping their own idols and their own gods. And Samson pushes the pillars of the temple down and kills 3,000 Philistines. Ultimately, in the end, he knew what his calling was. I don't want you to have to be imprisoned. I don't want you to have your eyes gouged out. I don't want you to have to go through what Samson went through. And I pray that you hope I don't either. See, let's hear God's calling on our life. Let's live in community together. We need to help each other. I mean, we don't do this by ourselves. We do this together. And so the worship team can come up. I want to pray for us today, and just spend time in prayer. Maybe it is with the person next to you. Maybe you need to grab their hand and y'all just pray together about how you're living your life together in community, or maybe how you've isolated one another, or how you've maybe isolated yourself. Maybe it's your children. Maybe it's your job. I don't know what it is. I don't have a clue, but you do. And so let's not live the way Samson lived. Let's live the way God called Samson to live, as not just a person of faith, but a faithful person. Lord, I need it. I'm just going to start my prayer with me. Lord, I confess that I am maybe the world's worst in wanting to do everything on my own. And so, Lord, I don't want that. I never have wanted that. But, Lord, I don't think I'm alone. I think that we are a community full of people that we just want to do it on our own. Oh, we pray. I pray. Lord, I pray that you will bless what I want to do and the way I want to do it. I want you to take my plans and make them work. I want you to take my ideas and implement them around me. just like Samson. So, Lord, we need to turn ourselves outward, away from ourselves. Samson's weakness was his vision, both spiritually and physically. And Father, he lost his sight. He lost his eyes, actually, literally, gouged out. And suddenly, he could see so much more clearly. Lord, I pray that you would blind us to the temptations of the world. Father, that you would blind us to the sinfulness that entices and seduces us, as it did Samson. Father, that you would blind us to the falseness that's around us, Lord, and just illuminate the truth. Father, for not for us to be tricked. Father, just so that we wouldn't be enticed. And Lord, that we would turn to you and say, Lord, what are your plans for my life? Lord, what are your ideas? Lord, where do you want me to go? Lord, where do you want me to work? Lord, where do you want me to spend my money? Lord, how do you want me to raise my children? Lord, who do you want me to be married to? Lord, how do you want my marriage to grow? Lord, where do you know that I need to repent? Lord, show me my sinfulness that I think is just not. And then, Lord, in our faithfulness, grow the kingdom. Grow the kingdom that we may show people the way of Jesus Christ, that they too will come to know you. That they too will come to know you. Lord, give us your peace. Give us your mercy. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, go in blessings in the name of Jesus Christ. Change the world for him. Y'all have a great week.
Thanks for listening to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. For more information, you can find us on the web at stlukeslubbock.org. That's stlukeslubbock.org.